just the thought of overcoming. And I'm wondering, as we begin looking at Othniel, but what's the first step that the children of Israel take in order for there to be recovery? What is the first step? They're sold. They're servants of double wickedness. And then there's the reality in their hearts of what they've come to, verse 9. In step 1, they cried unto the Lord who raised up the deliverer. So this is step 1 in the positive direction, is now to seek the Lord, to cry unto him and to realize that there is only a resource, and that to be the strength to overcome comes from him who is the overcomer.
So, Brother John, you mentioned the first step. I was also thinking about that, and I think a verse that comes to mind is the verse in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. It says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just. So the first thing that the children of Israel did after being under the bondage, after going away from God, after being under the bondage of this double wicked king, so to speak, is that they recognized that they had to confess their sins. And and that's the first step to recovery. Before we can go anywhere else, before we can do anything, when we recognize the Lord had brought them to this point, they couldn't take it anymore, so to speak. They recognized the errors of their ways, and they fell on their faces in confession as a nation. And that's what the Lord wants from us. Obviously, you know, we're supposed to keep short accounts, but here this was a big deal, because they had, they had succumbed to this real evil. And I think the message here, and obviously, you know, we know when we have sinned, it's brought to our conscience if we're keeping short accounts, and, you know, and we confess it, we move on. But I think maybe the point, based upon what was said before, what the Lord is bringing us to, is that we're all guilty of really mingling with the world too much. And maybe what the Lord is saying to us here today is that we need to really admit that to ourselves, that we've been caught up too much with the systems of this world, and that he wants us to really fall on our faces and confess before him our failure. And this is what the children of Israel did. So before they could be delivered, that's what they had to do. And that's the first point here. And obviously maybe others can add, but that is what the Lord is bringing very, very clearly before the children of Israel here. We need to confess. They needed to confess their sins before he can start to recover.
And I want to suggest to us that the children of Israel, it says they cried unto the Lord. And I don't know about you, but when I get to the point where you cry, it means that whatever it is that has brought you to that emotion is resting heavy upon you. It could be the sorrow of a loved one, right, that brings you to tears, the loss of that person. But here with Israel, it was that the servitude under Cushan-Rishathaim was so heavy, that it was so burdensome, that it brought about a sensitivity or an alertness, a re-awareness to the one who was able to help them and to deliver them from the current bondage that they're under. Brother Carl raises a very interesting and poignant point for us all. We have become desensitized to sin. We have become desensitized to our closeness to the things that are in the world. Brother Emil has brought before us young people about how one of the ways in which the enemy of our souls attacks us, through the back door, through fantasy, through the music and arts, that its approach is very subtle, and yet it's like that faucet that drips and drips and drips until you are drowning in the music, the culture, the mindset of the world. You know, you have to ask yourself, do I know more of the lyrics of the popular artists than I know of verses by memory in the scriptures? And if you can honestly say, you know, I know more verses than I know, you know, this foolish stuff out here, praise the Lord. But I think if we challenge ourselves, and we put a list up there, and we say, well, tell me the top 10 artists, that they'd be very, I mean, we would probably have so many hands going up here, right? We'd have to make a list twice those long. The reality shows. There's a brother I used to work with at Mountain View who's gone home to be with the Lord. He used to say, never laugh at sin. So when we sit and we watch these shows, and we're like, ah, this is hilarious. It's that the back door has been filled. We say, well, there's nothing wrong with, you know, watching these videos and movies, and they're cussing all over the place. And the sexual scenes and the immorality and everything else that goes along, and it's aspirations that are set before us at all costs. When we have a president-elect that didn't care what he said, how he said, who he offended, his objective was to win. And he showed the world that this system, this approach is what the people want. But when we become sensitized to the bondage that we're under because of that sin, there's going to be a cry. And then when God hears the cry of the people, that cry is a cry of repentance. Not now from, you know, sin to salvation, but it's a confession that we have failed. And we need young people to look in our own individual lives and say, you know, this thing I'm doing, this garbage I'm taking in, it's impeding my progress. It's impeding me from being an overcomer. You know, when people talk about the secret, what's the formula to success? It really is very simple for a believer. It is to walk the path that the Lord has set before us, to rid ourselves of these, of the sin that does so easily beset us, from running the run, the race with patience. And when the Lord hears the cry, you know, it's not what you have to do. It says the Lord raised up a deliverer. He raised up the one who was going to deliver his people. For us, it's the Lord. It's the Spirit of God on a daily basis that helps us to triumph in him. But we've got to come. And I tell you, young people, we can sit here until, you know, next year. But until you and I take assessment in our personal lives and say, you know, and it's the Spirit of God who's speaking. These things, whatever they are, yours is different than mine, etc. But these things I need to burn. I need to be rid of them. I need to turn off, you know, those shows. And let me develop a love for the Word of God, for the saints of God, for the Lord himself, and we'll find that we become overcomers. We run the race with patience.
So could we get help on us, Neil, now? We talked about, we painted the picture of what the world is. Now we have a young man, us, Neil, mentioned a couple of times, mentioned in Joshua, mentioned in the beginning of Judges, and mentioned here. So, we're talking about the secret. What would make out of all of these young men, millions of them, out of all of them, why there was that just one person? And how could I be an Othniel? Because listen, I wanted to be an Othniel. I don't want to be a loser like the rest of them or just serving this double wickedness. I want to be an Othniel. And I want to work very hard to be an Othniel. That is my aspiration. That is what I wanted to be. Everybody else wanted to be like somebody else or whatever. I wanted to be like Othniel. You have a role model? This is my man here. The Lion of God, the type of the Lord Jesus. But I wanted to be an Othniel. How I could be an Othniel, guys? How could you be an Othniel? What is really the quality? Because there is a secret preparation here. We don't read about Othniel coming in like, what came from nowhere. There is a secret preparation for him that prepare him to take that public place. Sometimes we want to run to the public and we fall flat on our face. Let's just see what's going on with him. What made him an overcomer? He must have been won a couple of battles before we get the big one. You don't start with the big one. You start with little ones in a very kind of like maybe obscure way. So maybe we need to find out about him a little bit in the next 15 minutes or so that we have left.